blessed, highly favored, abounding, and prospered. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Whose doing is that? He's so good, isn't he? What great love, wherewith he loved us. Praise God. Welcome to Healing School, House on the Rock Church, Ypsilanti, Michigan. I want us to just be set this morning, and I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I know that it's going to be an awesome time in the Spirit. Amen. Let's be expectant. Let's be ready in our hearts. Let's be focused. Let's be attentive. Let's be intentional in receiving this morning. Amen. All right. Let's give this time to him. Father, we just thank you for your power and your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, for healing us by your cross. Thank you for the death and the resurrection of your son, Jesus, and the blessedness that has accrued to us individually, collectively, as your children. If we had 1,000 tongues, Lord, we would not be able to give thanks enough for how good you are to us. The great love with which you loved us. Appreciate you, Lord. Just say thank you from the depths of our heart. And for healing us and making us whole, bodily and heart. Thank you, Jesus. We say thank you. For indeed, of a truth, by your stripes we were healed. We say thank you, Lord. And we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Who's healed in this place? Who's healed? Amen. Hallelujah. Healed. The healed of the Lord and prospered. I'll share one quick thing, and then we have a guest speaker this morning. And just a quick reminder on the testimony sheets. Please keep those coming in, because I know that we're experiencing God's power in our situations and circumstances on a daily and a weekly basis. Let's get to share those with brethren, brothers, sisters, beloved saints in the faith. Amen? Amen. It's encouraging. It's encouraging. Let's keep doing that. Okay? One verse of scripture, and I'll turn this over this morning. Luke in chapter 4, verse 40. Luke in chapter 4, and there's several other passages like this. Matthew 12:15, for example. But I just want to read from Luke in chapter 4, verse 40 this morning. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases, did you see that? With various diseases, brought them to him. That is to Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He healed them all. As Matthew 12:15 puts it. And I said there's several other passages like this in the Gospels that just give credence to what Jesus was doing all through his walk here on earth. And I've shared in this place, those served as a portrait, those served as a picture of God's heart to his children, to wit that they should all be what? Healed. He healed them all. And the signature, the sign, the stamp on this, friends, for us, was at the cross. And that's why 1 Peter 2:24 is now a reality in our lives. So that I'm saying this morning, it doesn't matter what that condition is, by whatever name it's called, because it didn't say some diseases. He didn't say one or two. He didn't say a few. He said what? All done. So indeed, you're healed. Amen. His death and his resurrection and glorious ascension was a signpost on that. Sealed. Delivered to you. Amen. I have the honor, distinct this morning, of welcoming AZ or Azubike, who's AZ as we know him, to share with us. He's got a word for the body as it relates to healing, and let's just encourage him as he comes forward. Amen. It's going to be good.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. How's everybody doing today? Doing good? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a second to pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love that has no limit, that has no end. Father, thank you for what you're going to do today to show your people how much you love them and to bring healing in our lives. To you be all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the title of my message today is Walking in Power. Praise the Lord. And now what I want to share and discuss is how we can start to see the power of God operate in our lives, especially in the area of healing. Now, the question now becomes, how do we walk in authority? And what is authority about? So let me open this with a question. What is authority about? This is healing school. We talk about spiritual authority all the time. So what is spiritual authority all about? Any thoughts? Any questions? Any ideas? Doris?
Having the right to do.
Praise God. So Doris said, having the right to do whatever. Praise God. Thank you. That's pretty good. Any other thoughts? Oh, Jill.
Knowing your stuff.
Knowing your stuff. Amen. Praise God. Any other thoughts? Yes.
Delegated
by someone higher. Praise God. Praise God. Now, these are all great thoughts. Any other thoughts?
Knowing who you are.
Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah.
Knowing whose you are.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Any other thoughts? Oh, go ahead.
Knowing where the authority comes from.
Praise God. That's kind of what I want to touch on today. So two things I want to focus on about walking in power and walking in authority. Two major things I think are key to understanding how we can walk in God's power. Number one, walking in power and walking in authority, understanding God's relationship with us, God doesn't operate in isolation from us. There is no isolation and there's no separation. That's number one. And number two, it is always about the power of God's love. It is never about the love of power. The demonstration of God's power is a demonstration of his love.
Amen.
So number one, God authority. God doesn't operate in isolation from us. And God's power is always a demonstration of his love. Amen? So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's read from verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now, before I read this scripture, now if we look at the beginning and how this discussion about dominion and authority comes from. In Genesis, the scripture says that God gave all power and dominion to Adam and Eve. He says, dominate the animals and the earth and the plants. All is within your dominion. But God gives them one instruction. And God says, do not eat from the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what is that about? You see, God creates this beautiful garden filled with all kinds of fruit and vegetable and then the animals. And then God interacts with Adam in this garden. But then the scripture says there was the tree of life and the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we need to understand that God is giving us a picture here. So I don't believe the idea is God plants a tree and says, hey, eat from this tree. Don't eat from that tree. I believe what God is saying, or what the scripture is saying, is that in the midst of God's goodness to us, there is an opportunity for life, and death. And God is telling Adam, this is what death is. Do not eat from the knowledge of good and evil. So in a nutshell, here's what I believe God is saying to Adam and Eve. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5. Are you there? Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So the number one point is that God does not operate in isolation from us. So God is telling Adam and Eve, there is no power and there is no dominion in isolation from me. If you lean on your own understanding, you're going to have no sense of purpose, no sense of being. And now we see that happen. When Adam eats from the knowledge of good and evil, what happens? All dominion, all authority, all power, lost. He felt naked, powerless, and no sense of being. So in a nutshell, God is saying, I do not operate in isolation from you. That does not exist. So, I know sometimes when we talk about authority, we use the analogy of a policeman or a policewoman. So the idea is the government gives authority to somebody to enforce the law in some region. So you have a picture where the policeman is here and the government is somewhere back in the White House. Now the challenge with this picture is that Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So Jesus is not somewhere in heaven giving you authority here. He's right on the inside of you. So there is no isolation. So now I know we use the word delegation and it's a great word, but we now see it's not so much about delegation. It's more about a partnership and a relationship with God and man. So now the question now becomes, how do we operate in authority in relationship? So you see the scripture here. What does it say? It says, lean not on your own understanding. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Did he say some of your ways? Did he say there are certain times where you have to exercise authority, and I'm just going to watch you do it? He said, all your ways, I am always with you. I am in you, and I'm with you. Amen?
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Amen.
Praise God. So, now to understand and see a picture of what this looks like, we can look no farther than the master himself, Jesus. How did Jesus walk in authority? How did Jesus exercise authority in relationship with God? Let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. From verse 17. Praise God forevermore. John chapter 5 from verse 17. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay. But Jesus answered, my Father has been working until now. Amen. My Father has been working until now. And I have been working. I'm using the New King James, by the way. Now, do you notice he says the Father has been working until now? He doesn't say the Father worked and stopped. So let's go on, and he explains it himself in verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. And then it goes on in verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Do you notice the Father does it first and Jesus follows? Jesus never takes the lead and then the Father follows. So you see a partnership here. The Father moves and he moves. The Father moves, he moves. The Father speaks and he speaks. Amen?
Yes.
So this is a relationship. Now, just to give you a personal testimony, I've been walking in healing for a long time, to God's glory. But a point came where I realized that I was depending more on the tools than on the Lord.
All right.
I was trusting more in speaking the word, binding the devil, and speaking in tongues. Nothing wrong with that. But we cannot exalt the created thing above the creator. You notice every time Jesus healed people, you notice Jesus never said, I love the way you touched the hem of my garment. Jesus never said, I spat in your eyes and that healed you. He didn't say, I like the way you ran to me and knelt down and you got healed. He didn't care about that. All that mattered was that you came to him. So every time he said, your faith made you whole. Your trust in me is what healed you. How you came to me is not the focus. I'm glad you came. But what matters is that you came. And you trusted me. Amen? So you can use the tools, but don't worship the tools. Worship God. So in 2016, I had the confusion because I was walking in healing for a number of years. And my question to the Lord was, you know, Lord, I don't quite understand what is healing me. Is it when I bind the devil? Is it when I speak in tongues? Is it when I speak the word? Where does this happen? I don't know if I have a similar question like that. But I had that question and it bothered me because I've been walking in healing for it's almost 10 years, but I was confused. I'm like, Lord, what did I do that produces the healing? And I felt the Lord ask me a simple question. And he said, who do you think inspires you in the first place to study the Bible and to pray and to go to church and to be a decent human being? Do you think you can do that in isolation from me? I'm like, no, that's not possible. And he said, no, your trust in me is enough. I work in you the will and the desire to do my pleasure. So he said, trust in me was enough. And I'm like, oh my God. So that completely revolutionized the way I approach healing. So what would take me, in my mind, my formula, I'm saying to myself, okay, this is where I do this and I do that. I went by all that process and I came to him first. And I said, Father, I trust you to produce the healing. Now it may sound different, but I looked at what Jesus said. Jesus said, I see the Father do it, and then I do likewise. So instead of me going ahead of the Lord and say, okay, let me speak the word first. Let me do this first. I turn to him first and I say, Father, I trust you to produce the healing. However you do it, I don't care. If you tell me to speak to it, I will speak to it. If you tell me to do something in particular, I will do that. And then what started to happen was my sicknesses and diseases were disappearing in hours, minutes, seconds. What was taking me days was not taking hours. In the same day, I received a healing because I turned to him first. Does this make sense? Praise God. So in the book of James, you see James say, is anyone sick among you? He now says, bring oil and anoint him. Did he say the oil will heal him? No. The prayer of faith. Trusting God will get that person healed. But we have to, like Jesus, listen to what the Father is saying. And when the Father says, speak this. When the Father says, do this. Then we do it accordingly. Amen. Any questions so far? Does this make sense? Any thoughts? Amen. Before I move on to the next point. Praise God forevermore. If there are no questions. Okay. Now the second point I made. So how do we avoid making this mistake? Or how do we avoid operating in isolation? Or how do we avoid the works or this effort it takes to produce a healing? How can I abide in God's rest and trust him? And the second point I made was this. It is never about the power or the love of power. It's always about the power of God's love. God's power is a demonstration of his love. And now I learned this lesson the hard way. I wish I had studied the scripture before. So let me share with you a quick testimony. Several years ago, growing up as a Christian, I'd read these wonderful books about men and women of God who changed the world. Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, Benny Hinn, and the men of God and women of God we see today. So I hear of them raising the dead and healing the sick, and I desperately wanted that. I'm like, Lord, I want to see your power. I want to lay hands on people and just have them changed. So in my religious mind, I did what I knew to do. I started, fasting. And then spending several hours praying all day, praying all night, seeking God for months and weeks and years. And then the sad, crazy thing was that nothing happened. I was just as miserable as when I started. And in fact, it got so bad that I would stand on the street corner to preach, but I was afraid that people would believe in the Jesus I believed in because they would be as miserable as I was. That's how bad it was. And I'm just being real. Amen? So how did this thing turn around? So the one thing I kept seeing in the Bible over and over and over and over again, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. So in my mind, I say, okay, Lord, now this is just my mind. This is not God. I'm like, Lord, if since you don't want to give me a gift, you don't want to give me this power, I can love people. So I decided, I'm like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. If a person is in need, if I have money, I'll give them money. If I can counsel them, I'll counsel them. If I can pray for them, I'll pray for them. Whatever I can do, I'll do. Since I don't have a power, at least I can love somebody. And then the strangest thing started to happen. Woo! The weirdest thing started happening. So I'm here counseling someone and talking to them. Then all of a sudden, this deep compassion starts coming out. And I'm like, whoa, what is that? I don't know what that is. I knew that wasn't me. Just deep compassion for the person, love for the person. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? Or sometimes I'm trying to counsel someone, and then I start to know things about them that they didn't tell me. A word of knowledge and prophecy. Without realizing it, I started walking in the gifts. Just by pursuing love. And I was like, whoa. So I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What am I missing here? And now let's go to scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. He's saying you can chase the gifts, but there is something better than chasing the gifts. He now tells you what to chase. Verse 13. Sorry, thank you very much. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, basically, in summary, he's saying chase love. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Wow. Isn't this supposed to be grace? Wow. And then it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Whoa. Then if we go down to verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, he now says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And then the next chapter 14, verse 1. In summary, pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. He doesn't say pursue the gift first. He says pursue love, then the gift. There's something better than you chasing the gift. It's better the gift chases you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added, including the gifts. So pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, here's a question I have for you. When the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest?
Because God is love.
Boom! Praise God. That is it. He's called the God of faith. He is the God of hope. He inspires faith. He inspires hope. But he is not faith. He is not hope. God is love. So if you want access to all of his power, all of his authority, all of who he is love. Chase that, and then you will have his power. Then you will have his authority. Because if we try to operate in separation from him and separation from love, then Lord is like, what are you truly seeking? What is the agenda? is the agenda to become someone who just, so in my, so God is, in a way, if I check my heart, the Lord is like, so why were you pursuing power? You wanted to be the great minister, lay hands on people and go have them change. For what purpose? Did you love the person? Did you care about the person? But when I love the person more than I love my ambition, then Lord is like, now you're ready for my gifts. Now I can flow through you. Praise God. Praise God. Does this make sense? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Are there any thoughts, any questions? Oh, Doris, go ahead. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Doris. Praise God. Praise God. So Doris said, everything hinges on love because that's who God is. Praise God. Did you have a point? Oh, I saw someone raise your hand. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Amen. She was she was saying having empathy, feeling what they are feeling. Because several times the Bible said Jesus moved with compassion. He loved the person first. You know, sometimes Jesus does weird stuff. You know, a person comes and asks him a question, and then he starts a whole different kind of conversation. Because Jesus is more interested in the person than their question. So this rich young ruler comes to him and says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? He said, on what basis? So he knew this guy was coming with performance. And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? Are you calling me good because I'm God? Or is this about legalism?
Amen.
So Jesus is always more interested in the person. And because of his compassion, that's why he heals them, because he loves them.
Yes.
So what are we going to say, Doris?
If that's what happened to you that day, you became more interested and had compassion for the person that you were ministering to. So therefore, everything else came to fruition.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Any other thoughts? Amen. Amen. So what she was saying was, now that I started focusing on the other person and the love of God flows through me, I get healed and they get healed. And that's the good thing about God, is that God doesn't use us like, you know, when you drink like use a straw to take a drink. You just suck him up and then you dump him. No, if the Holy Spirit flows through you, he heals you first. Right? Because hurt people hurt people. So the Lord is saying you cannot give something you don't have. You know, in 1 John, the scripture says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But then it says, as your soul prospers. Because if you don't have soul prosperity, it's going to affect your body and it's going to affect the rest of your life. So the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm not going to bypass your hurt. I'm not going to bypass your soul. I want to heal you first. But sometimes we want to go heal somebody else. And the Lord is like, no, let me heal you first. Because if I can flow in my love through you, I can minister to someone else through you.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. Any other thoughts? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Any other thoughts or questions? Amen. Praise God, praise God. Now let's tie all of this together. So in light of this, understanding that authority, or walking in God's power, is not about isolation. It's not so much, now delegation also is true, but it's not so much about delegation. It's about operating in relationship with God, following the Father's love. So in summary, the way to walk in power, the way to walk in authority, is pursue love. Another way of saying it is pursue God, who is love. Amen? So our responsibility, from what Jesus was saying, now becomes to walk as closely with the Lord as possible, to hear his voice. Like they say, the rhythm of grace sometimes. To listen to his heart. And then when we can hear his word, then we can speak what he's saying, and then we can see things change. But the love of God always comes first. And this is why Paul says this is the more excellent way. You can chase the gifts, you can chase the power, or he says the power can chase you. Amen? You know when the scripture says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, sometimes we stop there. We don't read the rest of the scripture. It actually said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then it says, they were not afraid to lose their lives, even to the point of death. So what he's saying is that they believed the same thing that Jesus believed. Whatever gave Jesus the courage and the boldness to face death and suffering, the disciples believed the same thing. They were pursuing the love of God. They were pursuing the heart of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his life for people. So they, in likewise manner, loved the world just like Jesus. And they were willing to lay their lives down because they knew the power of God was in them and God was going to help them face whatever situation came their way. You know, sometimes I think dealing with, because within the subject of authority, we have to address fear, right? So if we look at the root of our fear, the scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. But how does love cast out fear? How does this work? Go ahead.
If you're truly loving someone or truly loving the Lord, you get the confidence that he loves you back. And like it says, perfect love casts out fear because you love, you trust, you believe, you get understanding, and then you get knowledge and wisdom, and that casts out fear.
So as we grow in knowledge of who the Lord is and we understand his true character, then we have no need to fear because we understand that God is not against us, God is for us, right? Thank you. So how else can we cast out fear? Go ahead. As he is, so are we. Yeah, amen. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Any other thoughts? Yes. Amen. 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 So she was saying, there is no need to fear because that love takes care of you. That love can address any of your concerns. Amen? Yep. Trust. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Any other thoughts? Because when sickness comes, fear comes. Because the question now becomes, how do I challenge this? How can I overcome this sickness? It could kill me. So it's important then to understand in our authority, how do we handle this fear? Go ahead. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so he was saying what his concern was, the fear of death. But now understanding the love of God, cast out that fear, knowing that I'm going to live forever. Well, there's no reason to fear. Praise God. Any other thoughts? Oh, go ahead.
Fear of man brings a snare.
Mm.
So whoever trusts in the Lord will be snared.
Amen. Say that first part again. Yeah.
Fear of man brings a snare.
Amen. Fear of man. Fear of man brings a snare. And God's love delivers you from that. Amen. Any other thoughts? Now, I was bound to fear. I was terrified. I used to just be afraid of everything. Right? And I'll add sickness and disease to that. So when why I want to address this is because, now this may just be me, but when I was praying against healing, I wasn't praying because I trusted the Lord. I was praying because I was afraid. When I was speaking to the sickness and resisting it, I wasn't trusting him. And the Lord exposed that. The Lord is like, Azubike, you're not trusting me. You're just scared. So now my concern is I need to get rid of that fear.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is like, yeah, you shouldn't be. If you truly trust me, you shouldn't be afraid. So why are you afraid? So let me give you some kind of scientific method to deal with this fear. So let's say, for example, you're trying to go down a road, right? And then there's this wild hyena blocking your path, right? Is there a reason to be afraid? Of course. Now, let's switch that picture. Now, let's assume you have a lion that's your pet, and this is a wild lion. And for some reason, this lion loves you and cares about you, and this lion follows you everywhere. Would you be afraid of that hyena? Jesus is that lion. So when you face sickness and disease, Jesus is like, don't you understand that I am the Lion of Judah? I'm not just some cute guy. He's like, I'm a lion. I will destroy your fear. Annihilate it. That's why fear, love, cast out fear. God is like, what is your greatest fear? So I started to play this game in my mind when I understood who Jesus was. All the fear I no longer, in a way, I was hiding my fears in some cupboard. But now I brought all of them out. And I started to stack them up against Jesus. A man, poverty, sickness, and Jesus is like, gone, gone, gone. Because they cannot compare to who he is. So I started to live in trust. And the Lord said, this is how you do it. Start trusting me. Understanding that my love is greater than anything you face. So I said, but the challenge is if we don't walk with him. If we don't listen to him, if we start to lean on our own understanding, then you operate in the flesh. And then it's going to look very hard. And then it's going to look very difficult. So there's nothing wrong with being afraid. The question is, we go on the road and we lock the lion in the cage at home. Jesus is like, don't lock me home. Take me with you to the office. Take me with you to church. Take me with you everywhere you go. And when that thing is roaring in your face, you say, Jesus, this is your job. This is where you show up. And then you tell Satan, go fight him. So I refuse to fear. So now when I pray for sickness and disease, now I can comfortably say, Lord, I trust you to do this. Now, if you leave me to speak to it, sure, Lord, I'll speak to it. But if you're fine just taking it away, that's fine with me too. Praise God. Praise God. Because he casts out my fear. Darkness and light cannot coexist. When light shows up, darkness goes. But the only way is true trust, true relationship, no isolation. Yes. Amen? Yes. Any other last thoughts before I call up a prayer? Oh, go ahead. Amen. So she said, understanding that Jesus has the keys of life and death. That there's no need to fear death because he's with me. He's greater than that. Amen. Woo! Yes. Yes. Mm. Amen. Yes.
The same way with trusting God and fear.
Amen.
Totally trust him. Here, stand up.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, Doris, just to add to what she was saying, it's not about leaving a lion back home. It's understanding that Jesus is with you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There is nothing that you can do that will take me away from you. He's like, that's it, period. I'm just with you. Drive me away, I'm still here. It's like sometimes like a little pet dog that you keep telling him, go home. It just keeps coming back. It just is like, it's like I'm here to stay. I'm not going anywhere. Praise God forevermore. Can we have the prayer ministers come up? Praise Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. Amen, amen, amen. I hope all this makes sense. Thank you, Carmina. Praise God forevermore. So, we have no reason to fear. We don't have to pray out of insecurity. We don't have to pray out of fear. And this is what it means to pray out of faith. Because you understand that you have a God who is greater than your sickness. You have a God who is greater than death. The apostles were not afraid of death, because they knew Jesus was with them. In fact, there's this amazing story. You know, when the disciples were being thrown into the Colosseum and being torn apart by lions, there was so much peace, so much joy in their faces that the bystanders were jumping into the arena because they wanted to partake in the peace that these people had. Just watching the joy on their face. People were coming out of their seats just to die with the Christians. And these were unbelievers. And they got saved right there. Praise God. This is the God we serve. God is not afraid of your mountain. God is not intimidated by sickness. Amen. God is not afraid of man. So why do we fear them? So if you have these areas in your life where there's fear, fear of sickness, fear of death, I would like you to come forward. Now, if you don't know the Lord, or you don't know what it means to trust, Pastor Mike preached a message about being afraid to trust. You can come to our ministers, and they can join their prayer with you. Amen.
Oh, we have those on. You can use that one, maybe.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Praise God. Now you can come talk with our prayer ministers. Now, if you've been struggling with healing, or you have no experience with the Holy Spirit, you want to get to know the Lord this way. These men and women are capable, and they can lead you to the Lord. Let me just take a moment to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, you are a good Father. Your love casts away our fear. Your love casts away our sickness and disease. So, Father, right now we just trust you. And we speak healing over your people. We speak hope. We speak restoration. We speak freedom from every kind of bondage. Lord, we just receive the spirit of grace, the spirit of blessing that speaks peace to our storms, that speaks peace to anxiety. I just speak against fear right now. I speak against anxiety, and I just speak God's peace. And all that storm starts to calm down in Jesus' name. And Father, from today on, may we start to walk in a deeper revelation of your love, your grace, and your power, and operate out of love, no longer out of fear, but out of faith, out of hope, and out of love. Because you are love and you are greater than all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need prayer, please come forward, and God bless you. Thank you. We'll come back at 10:45 for service. Amen. Praise God.